He's one of the all-time greatest high school basketball players ever to come out of the state of Indiana and was on his way to becoming one of the greatest college players as well. But a couple of wrong turns sent him in a different direction. Born in Muncie, he moved to Marion with his mother when he was 5 years old. He took up basketball a year later, took to it naturally, and went on to lead the Giants to three consecutive state championships. They were ranked the top team in the nation his senior season, and he and a teammate were voted co-Mr. Basketballs. He could have gone just about anywhere to play college ball, but chose Indiana University to keep the Mr. Basketball tandem together. There, he was voted the Big Ten's Freshman of the Year, and then an All-American as a sophomore when he produced in-game drama on three consecutive Sundays on national television. Back at a time when playing on national television was truly a big deal. He decided to leave college after a sophomore season to enter the NBA draft, leaving his coach in the lurch. But by then, he had too many brewing issues that would catch up with him later. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's get on with it. I'm Mark Monteith, and I'm going one-on-one with one of the all-time great one-on-one players to come out of the state of Indiana, Jay Edwards.
This is One-on-One with Mark Monteith on 1070 The Fan. Brought to you by Georgetown Market, Indy's family-owned natural food store since 1973. Movie Time Video Productions, they make your memories last forever.
All right, today's One-on-One episode comes from the Fifth Floor Studios, MS Communications, downtown on the Circle. And I finally got Jay Edwards. I've been chasing this guy for years. Jay, it's nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here, Mark. Thank you.
We've talked on the phone now for a while and tried to get this set up, and we're going to finally get it done. So I know a lot of people out there want to know your story, want to know what you're doing now, all that kind of thing. So just to catch people up to date, tell us where you're living, what you're doing, that kind of thing.
I'm staying in Muncie at the present time. Going to school, back enrolled in school online at Grand Canyon University, taking my third class right now. So, and trying to get back in the community and, find a job and get back to Indiana.
Because you've been around, like when I first talked to you, you were in Mississippi, right?
Of course, yeah. I was in Mississippi when we first talked. I think that was 2008, 2009.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, and then you came back here, and I know you've been around. You were in Fort Wayne for a while. Now, you talked about working on your degree. Online courses for Grand Canyon?
Yes. Online. I had, left school early my sophomore year, so I had some college credits already. And I thought it was time. My mother had talked about it before she passed away. She wanted me to get my degree and graduate, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. When did your mom pass?
May 3rd.
So, and I think you said your dad also passed.
Lost both my parents in the past year. Yeah. He died last December 2nd.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's been a rough year.
What impact did they have? Is that kind of what inspired you to get your degree or that type of thing?
Yeah, well,
what impact
talking to my mom when she was getting sick, that's one thing she definitely wanted me to finish. And I know I had the capability of doing it. I was just, trying to stay away from the things in the past that had bothered me and the mistakes I had made. And, it was time for me to get back in it and on the saddle and finish my degree.
So what will your major be in?
Education.
What do you want to do with that?
I'll be a teacher and coach.
Let's talk about your basketball career. You were born in Muncie, moved to Marion at what age?
5 years old.
What are your earliest memories in basketball? When did you start playing the game? What's your earliest memories related to basketball?
It's at the Powell Club, the PAL there in Marion, Indiana. I was actually playing coach's pitch baseball, but I was the tallest player on the team. So a guy that was running the Powell Club at the time was named Randy Black. He came up to me and asked me if I wanted to play basketball. So I said, why not? I'd never done it before, but why not? And that's where it started.
And you're how old at this time?
I was 6 years old.
6 years old. Yeah. Had your dad been an athlete?
Not per se. I think he played high school ball, but that's the extent of that.
Because you seem like such a natural for basketball. It makes me wonder, like, your bloodlines, is there something in here?
No, ancestry? I have I had an uncle that was in the movies.
Who's that?
James Edwards. He was in Patton.
Really?
He was Patton right-hand man in the movie Patton, George C. Scott.
Okay.
He had a couple other movies also.
So 6 years old to start playing, are you one of the better players right away?
Yeah, matter of fact, yeah. I was taller, but I also, like, it was basketball came natural to me.
Yeah.
More than baseball than any other sport I played. It came natural. I really wasn't taught, you know, I was taught the fundamentals of the game, but as far as, you know, knowing the game and being comfortable around the game, I think it came natural.
Where did you play and how did you get better? I mean, okay. Were you a playground guy? Or?
Oh, yeah. We that's the problem with the kids today. They're not playground for kids no more. I can't find them playing anywhere.
Yeah.
We would go find a court any time of the day and the night just to get a run, you know, and different courts. I mean, we had 38th Street, 14th Street, Webster Park, Charles Park. I mean, we would go find a place to play, you know. That's definitely what we did.
And you were kind of before the AAU stuff. I mean, did you play AAU stuff in the summer? Or?
Yeah, I guess my junior, senior year, more AAU. But before that, it was, I don't know what you want to call it. It was the summer league tournaments. They were tournaments, basically, but not AAU.
But high school must have come easily to you. So, I mean, you talked about that you're such a natural for the game. It seemed like, I mean, you made it look easy. Did you feel like you weren't really pressed or stressed that much to succeed the way you did and have the kind of career you did?
No, I think that's a perception of how it looks. But yeah. I had my hands sweat before the game like everybody else. you know, I had a great team around me, too, also. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we all played together since we were 6 years old or against each other. So we knew each other. And a lot of teams don't get that luxury to have teammates that you've known for 14, 15 years.
Who were your early influences in basketball then? You're in Marion, which has a great basketball tradition, so I'm sure that got you excited. But
yeah,
were there other players, teams that you followed that got you excited?
I loved George Gervin growing up. Iceman. There was a high school player there in town that's coaching the high school team now, James Blackman. Just watching him play in high school, he was a tremendous high school player.
So I guess you, as a little kid, are you going to Marion's games?
Oh, all the Marion games. The girls Marion Giants, the boys Marion Giants, any basketball I could get to, I was going.
So as like an elementary school, was your whole ambition to be a Marion Giant? Or
When we were growing up, we wanted to be Marion Giants. Yeah, we wanted to run through that tunnel and come out on the floor.
Did you ever have an embarrassing moment in basketball as a little kid? You know, like Troy Lewis told me the story of shooting at the wrong basket one time. You know, I mean, did you ever have anything like that happen? You know,
no, not that I can recall. Maybe in the summer when we had played in tournaments and stuff, we wasn't very good at a young age, and we took some lumps growing up. A team here, Municipal Gardens, used to hand it to us pretty good when we were growing up.
Okay. And you have brothers, right? You have
I have two older brothers, yes.
Like one's 14 years older or something like that?
15 to 16 years older. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot older.
Yeah.
So are they like, are you even growing up with them? Or are they?
No, they're not even in the picture. Yeah, they're gone and doing their own thing.
So you're kind of an only child in that respect, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And is your dad, what was your relationship with your dad? Was he right there?
No, my mom and dad got divorced when I was 5. That's the reason we moved to Marion.
Oh, okay.
But I'd go over there in the summertime and spend time with him.
He was back in Muncie.
Yeah, in Muncie.
Okay,
yeah.
And you moved to Marion. I got you. Okay. What did your mom do to support you and everything?
She worked at RCA. That's why the reason we moved over to Marion. The plant was located right there in Marion.
Yeah.
And as I got older and people realized that I was going to be a good basketball player, Muncie wasn't too happy with my dad at that time.
Well, I can imagine you're leading Marion the state championships, and all those people back in Muncie are thinking that could have been them.
Yeah, and they wasn't too far behind us at that time. So
that's
right.
It would have been tipped the difference
yes,
in their way.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about that high school career at Marion. You and Lyndon Jones kind of lead them to 3 consecutive state championships. Looking back on it now, did it seem easy?
It couldn't
have been easy.
It wasn't easy. My freshman year, we got down to the semi-state, and we got beat by Delray Brooks in Michigan City. So
did you start varsity as a freshman?
No. I got scrub time that game. I think I got 4 minutes, and I came in and hit 2 jump shots, and they put Delray Brooks back in the game. Yeah, and so I always tell Coach Green that he should have gave me more playing time that game. But, then we go on to our sophomore year. We had 2 seniors on the team, LaFon Bowens and Nikki Mallory, and they really showed us, what it took to win and, they guided us that year. And then our junior year, we thought we maybe could win. We were all 5 juniors, and we took three losses, I think, that year. But when tournament time started, we pulled it out. And then Our senior year, we kind of knew we was going to win. You know, we were that, you know, a year older and the same team back, and we were very confident.
You're playing for Bill Green, right?
Yes.
Who had led Marion to state championships back in the 70s. What was that like? I mean, what was that experience like?
Oh, playing with a legend as a coach. I mean, he made us feel like we were going to win. You know, you just – he always say, I'm lucky. When the tournaments are, I'm the luckiest guy in the world, you know. So just go out there and play hard and we'll be all right. And he was right. You know, we had a couple close calls in the semi-state in Fort Wayne. That was more like our state than our – than semi-state.
Yeah.
And a lot of good teams out there.
What were practices like with him? I mean, difficult or?
At times. It all depends he'd make us run till we threw up sometimes. Yeah. And he wasn't soft on us, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So what's it like living in a small city like Marion and winning three state championships? I mean, what is that experience like to be the hometown hero like that?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, you couldn't imagine, especially our senior year when we ended up being number one in the nation, USA Today. I mean, when we went out of town, it was like, you know, like traveling to rock stars. I mean, people would actually be outside waiting for us and after the games, and we had police escorts, and it was just crazy time back then.
You're probably signing autographs around town, that type of thing?
Oh,
high school
player. Yeah, we signed autographs till our hands got hurt, started hurting, yeah, that's for sure.
As you look back on it with your perspective now, was it maybe too much? I mean, was did that kind of go to your head a little bit, or was it just a good experience?
It would probably went to anybody's head. I mean, I said, we're put on a pedestal to the point where, you know, you couldn't go anywhere in town without somebody saying something about the game or what they expect you to do in that game. Or at that time, you don't think about it, but the older you get, yeah, it probably put my mindset in a different situation.
At that time in high school, are you thinking, oh, I'm going to be a pro? You know, I mean, were you fully expecting to become an NBA?
No. At that time, I was worried about college. I mean, I had went and visited some college teams and went to a couple college games, and them guys were a lot bigger than we were in high school, that's for sure.
Yeah. Were you a pretty serious student in high school, or was it
I became one. Yeah. My first couple years, no, but my junior and senior year, with the help of a lady, Miss Kirshner, who's my English teacher, she really said there was more to it than basketball and got me serious and helped me study on my SAT, got my grade point average up, and she was a main factor in me becoming a Division I basketball player.
Edwards combs through the college scholarship offers and decides to stay close to home when one-on-one continues. Welcome back to One-on-One. Mark Monteith here with former Mr. Basketball and IU All-American Jay Edwards. He and his high school teammate Lyndon Jones decided to play together in college and took their talents to Bloomington to play for Bob Knight. They were both starting by the end of their freshman season, and Jay went on to be named Freshman of the Year in the conference. And by his sophomore year, he was known all over the country, but not always for good reasons. Well, let's talk about that recruiting experience. What schools did you look at? Where did you visit?
Well, since my freshman year, I planned on going to Louisville. I had been to Louisville's basketball camp 3 years, and Denny Crum had actually flew to five-star basketball camp to see me. And Garfinkel, who ran the camp then, had told me that was the first time he had flew to see a player play. And for Denny Crum, you know, he was, you know, pretty good coach at the time.
Yeah,
so it was Louisville, UCLA, which Walt Hazard was there, Pittsburgh, which my favorite coach at five-star basketball camp was Coach Cal from Kentucky. And he was assistant then.
So at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, okay. He actually came to Marion. And I thought about it for a while, but actually when it broke down to it, me and Lyndon didn't want to leave each other. And Indiana was the school that wanted both of us.
Oh, so the other schools weren't recruiting Lyndon like you?
No, and NC State believe, wanted Lyndon really bad at that time.
Okay. Yeah. And you guys were kind of a package deal in your mind. Huh? You wanted to go play together?
We finally realized that after a while that, yeah, we wanted to go together. At first, we didn't. We didn't talk about it, actually. But after, when it was time, when it was boiling down, the time was coming down to it, we both decided to go together. You know, Coach Knight had told me some good things that made me maybe wanted to go there also. You know, he told me I would be like the role of Steve Alford, which that was that was promising. You know, I was going to get to shoot the ball, and that's what I like to do. So,
sure.
Yeah, so he had told me, you know, I could do more things than Steve, and, you know, he could show me how to get better.
But you and Lyndon are co-Mr. Basketballs, right?
Yes.
What was that experience like at that Indiana All-Star? You know, they put your whole team on there, the whole Marion team.
Starting five. That'll never happen again. But, yeah, so starting five made it. And it put us in at the same time also. We played against I think we played for about 4 or 5 minutes, but they start starting five. Yeah, and Coach Griff, he was. I like Coach Griff from Richmond. He was
George
our coach.
Griffith.
Yeah, Griffin, yeah. And he's a good coach.
I'm trying to remember. We're talking
1987.
I got a book here. 1987, let's see. You guys won the first game 104-92. You had 18 and Lyndon had 16. Rick Fox was on that team.
Yeah.
He had 24 that game. And then the second game in Louisville, you guys went at 119-114 and you had 34. You were 11-20 from the field, 10-12 from the foul line. Yeah. And Jerome Harmon was on that team. He went to Louisville. That's a stud team. Yeah, Rick Fox.
That was our same AAU team.
Yeah, okay.
We came in second in the nation that year behind Michigan. Yeah.
Okay, so a great Indiana All-Star experience.
Yeah.
So then you show up in Bloomington on campus as a freshman. What was the adjustment to college basketball like?
We're coming in, me and Lyndon, and Indiana had just won a national championship that year. So we're kind of, you know, intimidated a little bit, you know, with the players that were coming back. You know, if they can win a national championship, we're never going to get, you know, we're never going to play, you know, for a couple of years. But it ended up working out. Me and Lyndon ended up starting during the Big Ten season that year, I believe.
Yeah, and you had your freshman year. You guys, trying to think how you did in the Big Ten then. You had a good season.
Yeah.
We're talking 87, 88.
We had a rough start before Coach Knight put me and Lyndon in the starting lineup. I think we were 1-4. And then he started me and Lyndon, I think, the sixth game of the Big Ten. I think we might have won 7 games in a row.
Yeah. See, Keith Smart's still on the team, right?
Left over
from the championship team.
Yeah, it was Keith Smart, Dean Garrett, Steve Isle.
Yeah, but you guys wind up starting.
Yeah,
That was the year Purdue won the Big Ten, but you beat them in Bloomington in one of the classic games.
Yes,
down there.
That was,
we were talking about that earlier.
A big win, yeah.
You had a deflection or a steal late in the game that kind of clinched it for you. Troy Lewis was inbounding the ball underneath the basket, and you got a hand on it.
The one time I played defense.
Well, you had to at that moment.
Yeah.
So. You were, you know, you're 6'4", right?
Yes.
That about right?
Yes,
and you have long arms. So you were built, you know, for that kind of thing.
You really
were. Yeah. And then your sophomore year, you were Big Ten Freshman of the Year.
Yeah, I was Big Ten Freshman of the Year in front of Steve Smith. I think it was between me and him that year who was going to get the Freshman of the Year.
Yeah, he went on to be Big Ten MVP as a senior. So you're off to a great start. At that point, you must be feeling really good about
how
things
are
going to go.
Yeah. I was, you know, disappointed by our tournament game.
Oh, that's right. We got beat by
Richmond Spiders. Yeah. So I hadn't got beat in a tournament for a while. So I get used to that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And how was the adjustment to playing for Bob Knight at that point?
I was very confident at that point. When I got in, you know, my breakout game was against Notre Dame. I came in maybe with like 6 minutes to go. I think we might have been down two. I don't know the situation clearly. It's 26 years ago. But, I know I came in and hit 2 threes, maybe a couple layups, and blocked David Rivers' shot, and Dean Garrett got a dunk. That was my breakout game. Dick Vitale, let everybody know about it. And after that, I was pretty confident when I was on the court.
Did college basketball come easier to you than you expected it to? I mean, because, you know, freshman of the year, you obviously did well. Were you surprised by your early success?
Because like I was telling you, when I was visiting schools, I mean, the players were so much bigger and faster and stronger that I thought I was having a problem with, you know, getting my shot off and this and that. But once I got out there, you know, felt it, and I was very confident as a freshman. And it did come a little easier than I thought it was going to come.
You look confident. Were you ever nervous for games? I mean, because it didn't show whatsoever.
Like I said, I get nervous. Yeah, plenty nervous. But yeah. I just don't let it show, I guess. But when the game starts, it all goes away.
Yeah. Let's talk about your sophomore year. This is a dramatic year, the 88-89 season. You hit game, or what could have been a game-winning shot on three consecutive Sundays on national TV. On February 12th, you hit a, I think it was a baseline shot over Tony Jones to beat Purdue. The next week, you hit the game winner against Michigan. And the week after that, you hit a shot that kind of went over the backboard to put you up on Illinois. But then Nick Anderson came back and hit like a 25 or 30 footer to win it for Illinois at the buzzer. That, man, that puts you on the national map. I mean, there's three consecutive game winners on national TV back at a time when college teams didn't play on national TV like they do now.
Right.
You
know?
So
right,
you got an incredible amount of exposure from that. Yeah. What's your memory from that period there or that stretch? Let's start with the Purdue game. You and Tony were pretty good friends.
Yeah. Me and Tony had played against each other for the past 3 years before that. And it came down. I felt like they shouldn't have been in the game as close as they were. We were having a bad game. But it came down to it where Coach Knight gave me the ball, ISO'd on the wing, and Tony happened to be guarding me, and I gave him a little shake move and shot it. I remember my friend in the stand saying, "Money, money." That's all he said, and it went in. So that was good. That was a good feeling.
Indiana with Brian Sloan, Lyndon Jones, Joe Hillman, Jay Edwards, and Jamal Meeks. Last time down, they had Tony Jones, who did nothing but stay on Jay Edwards. He had no responsibilities. He chased him just man for man all the way. In backcourt, Jones with the basketball for IU. Linden across the timeline is Jamal Meek. Indiana will set it up going for the last shot. They want to get the last shot of this ball game. It's tied at 62. Hillman to Jay Edwards. Looks at the clock. We're down at 10. Jay takes it left side. Spins back down to the baseline. Fires it up and hit it!
Yeah, now, and you would talk some with these guys during games, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like what kind of conversation would you have with a guy like Tony, who's
Tony,
a friend of yours?
Like I told him, I said, you know, I know you. And we, you might want to get Claiborne over here to guard me because I know I can hit it on you. So he kind of giggled, but I ended up hitting a shot. Yeah.
Okay. And then the next week, and I remember this game especially against Michigan. And one thing I give Knight credit for, he wasn't one of these coaches who'd call a timeout to set up every possession late in the game. You guys just brought it up, and you came down and hit like a 30-footer at the buzzer. Tell me about that one.
Let me tell you about Michigan. When we're warming up and I'm looking at these guys warm up, there's no chance we can beat these guys. You
Glenn
know?
Rice.
Glenn Rice. Loy Vaught. Ramil Robinson. Terry Mills.
It's the Sean team that's going to win the national championship.
Sean Higgins. It's five first-rounders right there.
Yeah.
So – you know, and I'm looking at, you know, not to take any away from my teammates or anything at the time, but they wasn't that caliber players at the time, you know. So for us to stay in the game, that's what Coach Knight used to tell us. This is stay in the game, stay close, anything can happen.
23 seconds to go. Shot clock is down at 12. Here is Ramil Robinson. Robinson fires back to Loy Vaught. 16 seconds left. Shot clock at 5. Here's Higgins. Higgins a three. Passes inside. Shot is up. No good.
I didn't really get to see it go in because Sean Higgins played good defense, and I was on the floor, on the ground, and I seen the stands, the people in the stands jump up and down. And I knew it went in.
Bob Knight was jumping up and down. If you go back and look at that clip, he is jumping up and down on the sideline.
Yeah, he didn't like Michigan very well.
I mean, in a situation like that, are you feeling nervous about that? You know, when you're running up court, you're probably going to get the ball, and you know what the situation is. What's your mindset?
Oh, it's not nerves. The nerves is if I don't get the ball. I want the ball in those situations, and if I make it, we win. If I miss it, we lose. But I want to be the one to shoot that shot.
And the chemistry you had established with Lyndon over your entire life practically comes into play there, right?
Yes, of course. Like I said, I knew he was going to come and find me. That's why I took off down the court, you know, before, you know, I didn't watch the ball. I took off, get down there so I could get a, you know, screen, came off the screen and hit the shot.
Yeah. And then the following week, you're playing Illinois. What was the shot you hit there to put you guys up?
It was on the baseline, I believe, and I was trying to go baseline all the way to the basket, but I believe it was Lowell Hamilton cut me off the baseline, so I had to jump up and shoot it. And I looked up, I was behind the backboard.
Yeah.
So the only shot I really had was to throw it over the backboard, and I got a good look at it, and it went in.
Edwards is going to try to get a screen. Gets it off. This is becoming a habit.
But they came back and Nick Anderson hit.
Oh, right in my face. Yeah, exactly. He got Steve Bardo, I believe, threw it down a little past half court. And Nick got it and squared up and, yeah, hit all net.
They're going to try to throw the baseball pass to one of their great jumpers. Remember, the clock doesn't stop until he touches it. About 27, 28 feet.
Yeah, so how does Coach Knight react after a game like that? Is he
Well, at that time, or? that game really wasn't that crucial to us for the Big Ten. So it didn't hurt us as bad. It hurt us because we wanted to beat them guys anyway because they had already beat us once at their place. And that's the only team that had to beat us in the Big Ten. But all we had to do was finish out, I think, 3-4 for the rest of the year to win the Big Ten.
The trappings of fame begin catching up with Jay Edwards when One-on-One continues. Back on One-on-One, Mark Monteith here with former Mr. Basketball and IU All-American, Jay Edwards. All that success he was having on the basketball court in high school and at IU helped lead to some issues off the court, too. Ones that weren't always being properly dealt with. You hit three-pointers in 20 consecutive games, which was a Big Ten record at the time. Like we said, you had been Big Ten Freshman of the Year. You get 54% of your three-pointers as a freshman, just to give people an idea of how well you shot. Did anybody ever teach you to shoot, or was it just all natural for you?
No.
Something you worked out on your own?
It's been natural. I worked at it, though. It wasn't something that I just went out there and just started shooting jump shots like that. I would shoot 400 or 500 jumper shots a day when I was 14.
You go out by yourself to a park somewhere?
I'd have somebody rebound for me. Yeah,
okay.
A friend of mine, you know, in Marinette, rebound for me.
And put up a lot of shots.
At night or day or anything like that. I always shot jump shots, yeah.
When you're doing that, shooting around by yourself, are you imagining somebody? Hey, you know, like kids like to fantasize or whatever and pretend to be someone else or whatever.
Right.
Is there somebody in your head that you're trying to be like?
Not per se on my jump shot. Like I said, George Gervin was I think that's where I got my gait from, you know, the smooth. I think that's where I got a lot of my gait from. But, I wanted to be my own man as far as the jump shot was concerned.
Wow. Did you have, like, a shooting routine or a game that you would play, that type of thing, when you're shooting on your own?
Yeah. We just go around the world, you know. and I had to make a certain amount, like say it was 100 jump shots, I had to make 80 or I had to do it again.
Yeah, you're about 3 inches shorter than Gervin. That's that's where you went wrong. And you're an All-American as a sophomore, but you know there are some issues that come up in your 2 years there, suspensions and so forth. Uh-huh. Can you kind of take us through that part of it?
Oh, no problem. It started my freshman year. It was grades. I had got a D, couple D's on a report card, and I wasn't ineligible. College NCAA rules, but Coach Knight rules, I was ineligible. So I think I set out 5 or 6 games then and took a class and brought my grades back up and got back on the team. I had some issues with parking tickets.
Got some parking tickets.
A couple parking tickets my freshman year that landed me in a little trouble. And then I ended up after the tournament was over, I ran into a little trouble at the dorm with marijuana. And got suspended, started my sophomore year for that.
So, okay, you started your sophomore year under suspension because of that?
Well, actually not under suspension, like a probation period.
Probation.
Yeah, that kind of something like that. I had to take, I had to get 3 drug tests a week.
Okay.
It started out after the marijuana and to my sophomore year.
And then through your sophomore year, did you miss games then?
I got caught again my sophomore year with a drug test, and went to the rehab situation for a little while.
You were up in Indianapolis at a rehab center for a while. Yes, yes. For how long?
I believe it was 6 or 7 days.
Yeah. So, you know, most people don't get over that kind of thing in 6 days. So
no.
You were called back, basically? Or?
I was released. Yeah, I guess I was cured or whatever you want to call it. But yeah,
I was needed on the court. Right?
Maybe. I don't know. I just know that that period of time probably should have been a little longer.
Yeah. Do you feel like you needed more help or whatever at that point?
If I look back, yeah, of course. But at that time, I probably was begging to get out. You know, if I look back, yeah, so of course I needed more help at that time. Yeah.
So with your perspective now, how big or bad of an issue with marijuana, alcohol did you have? You know,
definitely an issue. It was, the alcohol, which is prevalent on campus anyway,
sure.
You know that, and then the marijuana, and then also dibble dabble with cocaine, you know, sniffing cocaine. So yeah, and that's where, you know, it's a gateway drug, the marijuana and everything. It starts you into some deeper stuff.
So, yeah. Now, did this all go back to high school? Were you getting into some of that then?
Or? Yeah, the later years of high school, my senior year, yeah, it started then, you know.
People
have come around that, you know, especially when you're number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
And they want to be around you.
Yeah.
And they got money, they got the cars, they got the women, and it looks good at the time.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And people have told me that you were the kind of athlete who could drink a six-pack or whatever or smoke something and go play and still play well. Like it didn't affect you that much?
Yeah, that was probably a curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could put down a couple beers and maybe smoke a couple joints and probably go get you 30. And I did that for a while.
Did you?
I did that for a while.
Did you play games at IU under influence?
No. I might have had a beer or two earlier that day, but no. No marijuana, no cocaine, no drinking before the game.
Okay. So as you look back on it now, obviously you regret, you're not blaming anybody, you're not pointing the finger at anybody else for anything that happened, I know, but do you wish Coach Knight or somebody had been a little stricter with you, either kept you in rehab longer or suspended you for more games or whatever? You know,
yeah,
do you wish that?
If I look back now, I'd be at a 45-year-old man, of course. I mean, if I got a player that gets caught with weed in 88 and then gets a positive drug test for cocaine in 89 and then you still let him play, of course I'm looking at that like that now. But I was very convincing at a young age, too. So I probably, you know, he probably thought everything was okay. I made it look like it was okay.
Yeah.
You know, my grades were good. My personal life was good.
But, you're playing well?
I was playing very well.
You're hitting game-winning shots?
Yeah. So, and on the surface, it probably looked like I was okay, but underneath, I wasn't.
Was it just a case of being on the big campus, being away from home and having all the temptation and basketball's going great? You know, was it just all those type of things building up that – led you down that path, or
no? I think it was like you said, it started in high school. All them bad habits had started in high school from being, you know, like the number one team in the nation, win three state championships in a row. It's hard to tell somebody not to do something. And I was getting good grades, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, but somebody, you know, nobody came up to me and grabbed me around my neck and said, you know, you're going to blow it. You know, everybody just ran with it.
Yeah. And, you know, Coach Knight had a reputation as a disciplinarian, but it sounds like from what you're saying that he let a lot of things go, you know, because he wants you on the court.
I think I don't want to be the one to say, yeah, he let it go or this or that. I know he had been a lot stricter on other players. He let me get away with a lot of things that I'm sure as he looked back right now and say, I shouldn't have never let him get away with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And me getting the good grades and us winning, it was hard to, you know, pinpoint the problem at that point. It's the way that I want to
live. Edwards decides to turn pro when one-on-one continues. Nobody can tell me what to do.
Back on One-on-One, I'm Mark Monteith, and I'm talking today with former Mr. Basketball and IU All-American Jay Edwards. Those game-winning shots on national television helped convince him it was time to enter the NBA draft. He left IU through the back door, thus closing the door on his relationship with Bob Knight. You entered the NBA draft after your sophomore year.
Yes.
Right. Talk about that decision. You know, when you made it, why you made it, who helped you make it.
Didn't nobody really help me make it. Them three last second shots on Sunday probably helped a lot, you know, mm-hmm. as far as my confidence and this, you know, and people coming up to me and saying, well, you can be drafted here. You know, you're projected to go between 8 and 15. You know, that's what I was hearing. The thing that people didn't know against Ohio State my sophomore year, I had 27 the first half. But I got a steal and went up for a shot. And at that time, I think I tore my patella tendon.
Ooh.
And I kept playing anyway. So it was really hurting the rest of the year. And I didn't think I was hurt that bad. So when I go to the NBA draft and get to LA and everything, I find out that it is that bad.
Nobody at IU looked at it that closely or examined it? Or did you not say anything about it?
We was doing a little rehab to it, and if you ever notice, I put a knee brace on for the rest of the year, and I just didn't think it was that bad. You know, I guess I was taking anti-inflammatories, which takes the pain away a little bit, but I didn't think it was that bad. I'm sure if you talk to somebody back then who was Tim Girl, whoever, I'm sure they remember, you know, the injury.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah. What was your last game at IU? What did you guys do in the tournament that year?
Oh, we got beat by Seton Hall. And up in Denver.
At that time, if we had talked, how was your relationship with Coach Knight?
Oh, it was good.
It was okay?
It was good. At that time, everything was good. I mean, I thought it was. I had quit drinking and quit, you know, partying, and I had started doing that about 2-3 weeks before the tournament started.
Mm-hmm.
So I had ran into a problem where I was late to the shoot-around the day before we went to go fly out to Denver. So I missed the whole shoot-around.
No.
That wasn't good. No.
What were you doing? I mean, how did you miss the shooting?
I overslept.
You just overslept.
I had been drinking the night before. So
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. So that didn't go over too well.
No, it didn't go over well at all. So we get down there, and then I ended up getting, I think, two fouls or maybe three fouls the first half. He took me out. We was up when he took me out, and we fell behind and never could catch up.
Mm. What was your communication like with Coach Knight? Did he spend a lot of time talking with you and – you know, is he screaming at you all the time as you're trying to be a father figure, or, you know, how did he handle the situations with you?
Most of the time he would kick me off and when them circumstances came, like with the drugs and everything, but then he always give me a way back.
Yeah. How many times did he kick you off the team?
I don't want to get it wrong, but I would think two or three times. at least two or three times in 2 years.
But you probably knew that you'd get back one way or the other. I mean, you're
at that time, Mark. I probably didn't care. You know, I was hot. I could have went probably anywhere in the country. Thinking back, I mean, like I said, I was very immature, spoiled, and a-hole, basically.
You know, we talked about what it was like in Marion winning three state championships in a row. What's it like on campus at IU? You know, your team's not winning championships, but you're hitting these game-winning shots on national TV. Oh, you are an All-American.
Yeah.
What's life like for a college All-American in Bloomington, Indiana back then?
Well, I definitely was big man on campus.
Yeah.
As far as, like, people, like you said, in high school it was one level, and college is a whole different level. You know, people want to be around you. You get anything you want. But that's the things I didn't need at the time.
Yeah.
You know, at that time I thought I needed them, you know.
Yeah.
And wanted them. So women, a lot of those, just picking up real bad habits.
As you look back on your 2 years at IU, what is the highlight, though, for you on the court? You know, what are the memories you treasure the most?
Oh, just being around the guys. Everybody on the team, I got along well. If you ask anybody on that team, that they say I'm pretty sure they say I was a good guy and a good mm-hmm. teammate.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know Tony Jones well. You know, he considered you a friend, and I've never heard anybody who played with you or whatever that didn't like you. You know, so you're an easy guy to get along with.
Mark, most of my problems I hurt myself. I didn't hurt anybody else. Yeah. I was always hurt myself.
But you didn't know it at the time.
No.
You're having fun and you're doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the NBA. What was the clincher for you as far as entering the draft? What convinced you ultimately to go?
Well, I had already probably made my mind up somewhere around between that Purdue shot and that Illinois shot. I was having a good season before that.
Sure.
Yeah. But between all that, being like you said, there wasn't like a lot of playing on national TV a lot. I got to do it 3 weeks in a row. So I was very, very hot at that point, you know. And I thought in my mind, physically and mentally, I was ready. I wasn't either one. I wasn't ready for either one, mentally or physically. I wasn't ready. Yeah. So that in my mind, I thought I was. So I probably decided during, you know, later in the season, my sophomore year, I was going to go pro.
Did you have agents contacting you, wanting to represent you, that type of thing during the season?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit, not the agents itself, but people that knew the agent were trying to get to me and give me this, and I never took anything. You know, I had enough right there in Bloomington. I didn't need nothing. But when I finally decided that I was gone, it's probably close to the Michigan game.
Okay. So when your season ended in Denver in the NCAA tournament, you knew that your college career was over at that point.
I knew it was over. I knew that was my last game.
Did Coach Knight know it, or did your teammates know it?
No, maybe a couple of my teammates might have had a clue, but I didn't tell anyone, actually.
So what happens when you tell Coach Knight that, hey, you're going to enter the draft?
I never really – that's another a mistake I made. I should have been a man and went and told Coach Knight what my plans were, and I never did that. And I also apologized to him about that. Yeah, I never did. I don't know how he found out, but I know he wasn't happy when he found out.
And you never had a conversation with him before the draft, huh? You were just gone, basically.
No. I've only had two conversations since I decided to go pro in 89.
When were they?
I talked to him briefly in San Francisco in, what was that, 2001 maybe? And then and Marion University when Steve Downing got the AD job there. I think that was a couple years ago.
And how is he when he sees you today?
Well, he don't have too much good to say to me. And I apologize to him, and that's all I can do. I mean, I can't control his feelings.
But he doesn't seem eager to help you or get involved.
No, not at all.
How did you see him in San Francisco? What's going on out there?
I was out there with Dr. Mark Robinson, which was a teammate of mine. Mm-hmm. And it was a book signing deal for him. His book, and I surprised him. I bought a book, and I had him sign it to my mom.
Okay, so he did that for you.
He signed it, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't have much else to say to you.
Nothing that I could say on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not really funny. I shouldn't be laughing. But
I can laugh at it, so it's okay.
This one-on-one conversation with Jay Edwards continues in a moment. Hey, thanks to Jay Edwards for stopping by the one-on-one studio. It took a long time to get together for this one, and I hope you agree it was worth the wait. We've still got a long way to go in this conversation, though. We need to continue with his professional basketball career and catch up on what's going on today. So we'll come back next week to resume the story. You can catch the podcast of this hour later in the week on our website at 1070thefan.com by clicking on audio and on one-on-one. You can always reach me by email at mark@1070thefan.com, and you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too. That Twitter handle is @MarkMonteith. Join me next week for part two of the Jay Edwards story, right here on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.